Technorama episode 476, Stardusting.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I need a tomographic imaging scanner. Do you have one of those here?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
And for those playing along at home, a tomographic imaging scanner was a device capable of multiphasic resolution invented by the Daystrom Institute for use in areas where high levels of interference made the use of traditional scanning devices impossible. As of 2364, the device was still in development, but by 2370, it had been perfected and was as being carried aboard the USS Enterprise. How fascinating!
Fascinating.
Welcome to Technorama! This is the show that takes a little more than a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I am Chuck Tomasi. With me, as always, is... Deer in the headlights.
Deer in the headlights.
Craig. I'm waiting. You didn't say my name.
Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Thank you.
Okay. There we go.
Good grief.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't proceed until you said that. Memory and... Yeah. Anyway, I'm doing okay. I'm fine. I'm glad to finally be back.
This is the bearded episode. Was this your evil twin from the alternate universe?
See, you should have all of y'all should have grown beards.
Just down to the goatee next week.
I shaved mine last week.
Hey, or just get a Sharpie.
Keith's working on
it. Yeah, I'm working on
a Sharpie.
So we were just talking to Darth Stepp.
That's right. I will overthrow the host and take over this show.
All hail the Hulkins.
Yeah.
Anyway. Also joining us in the binary studio. Yes. We have to finish
your hangouts.
I am muted.
No, you're not. I can totally hear you.
Okay. There.
Thank you, God.
There. That little icon with the microphone on the bottom.
Does that work?
Yeah, that's better. It's much better. Thank you.
Also joining us in the binary studio. Wow, we're going off the rails already.
Why did you expect anything else?
Introduce yourself.
Ben from TG Geeks.
And I'm Keith from TG Geeks. And we are the Two Gay Geeks.
All together now.
From lovely Phoenix, Arizona. Yes.
In lovely Phoenix, Arizona.
Where it's hotter than the sun or valley of the sun.
The surface of the sun.
The surface of the sun, yes.
People are bursting into flames on street corners with cardboard signs in flames.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll teach you to stand up.
Judgment Day has arrived in Phoenix, Arizona.
I'll take a walk.
It's one way to cure the homeless problem.
Whoops.
Am I being insensitive again?
Word. Yes.
I got a new shirt. You like my shirt? I'm a Trekkie dad. It's just like a normal dad, except much cooler.
So is the word Trekkie acceptable again now after being
I've always
for so
accepted
many years?
It.
Trekker.
No, Trekkie. I've been a Trekkie since the beginning.
Okay. Yep.
Trekker just doesn't sound right.
Trekker sounds like you're going
I'm
out
not the
on
one
a,
who made
I'm
it
a trekker.
Get a ski pole and walk along the hillside.
I'm a trekker and I'm all
right. What are
you
doing there, Chuck? Are you hiking? No, I'm trekking.
I'm a picking and I'm a trekking. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back because we have in this show lasers, a look at the inside of the Enterprise again, and Jupiter.
Laser.
Grasshopper. You have learned much in your training. However, to achieve ultimate geekness, you must pass one final test. You must snatch this chip from my hand, Grasshopper. I wasn't looking. You must snatch this chip from my hand. Once again, you must snatch this chip from my hand. You must snatch this chip. Enough!
This is Steve Wozniak. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Well, that was a short break.
Yeah.
Okay, if you haven't noticed, do that room shot again, please, Donna. That picture right in front of Ben and Keith.
Yeah.
I can't see a thing. I'll just take your word for it.
You've seen the picture, though. It's the Jawa's Weenie Roast, is what we're calling it, which sounds dirty, but it's not. they're outside on Tatooine roasting hot dogs over the burning corpse of Aunt Beru
and Uncle Owen
and Uncle Owen,
and one Luke of them is running up behind him fresh out of the lightspeeder. Hey, so it was tasteless enough. Keith was kind enough to buy that for the studio. Yeah.
Nice. So
thank you very much for that. We are going to find a permanent home for it somewhere in the studio, but
a permanent home.
You can bring it over here.
Pertinent home?
It's pertinent.
A place.
A place. We have feedback. We have a listener feedback from Crazy Joe.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Why do you guys do that? Joe. Oh, dear.
Because it's Crazy Joe.
He's a loyal listener, man.
Crazy Joe can be
when he calls on our show.
I got a couple questions for you. Not based on any particular topic you were discussing, just general Technorama show questions. First off, before I get to my questions, let me say very quickly, no, I did not Google the lyrics to the Silver Spoons theme song. I do know them by heart.
Yeah.
That is one of my many go-to songs that I use to sing my daughter Kira to sleep at night.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, on to my questions. Question number one. At the end of the voicemail song, the letters, we got letters. Okay, when you're finished and you're going to the next segment, you play one last verse. And I'm wondering what they're saying in that verse, because it sounds to me like they're saying, another message from our listener, Dave. And I think to myself, who the heck is Dave? And I think they can't possibly be saying our listener, Dave. So what are they saying? And by the way, don't get a new song. That is great. Stick with that song.
You've been denied, Craig. All right. Here's the explanation. Who is Dave? Dave, another letter from our listener, Dave. Uh-oh. What?
Is this a Lenny Iserall situation?
Lenny. I'm just telling you what I know. Dave is related to Richard Stans. Now, everybody's familiar with Richard Stans because he's in the, not the Pledge of Allegiance, the National Anthem. It is Pledge of Allegiance. To the Republic for Richard Stans.
Uh-huh.
Dear God.
Right?
Okay.
I got to mix
Since
up
this is the 4th of July
he's
episode.
He's also related to Don Zerli, who's in the National Anthem by Don Zerli Light.
Yeah. Don Zerli.
And hey, Jose, I'm sure. Jose, can you see?
Yes.
Hey, write these things down in case you got to register for something. You know, Dan's early life.
You should see the demo data I put together for our customers sometime.
Oh, dear.
Fill patterns.
Yeah.
Valvoline.
It goes on. Actually, the second question I have, why is 101 a binary high five? Because I don't know binary very well, but I put 101 into a binary translator, and it translates to the letter P.
No.
So 101 is P.
Nope.
So I was wondering why that's a binary high five. In any event, I'd love to hear the answers to these and many other questions. Love the show. You guys are great.
Is that a threat?
We have to make up the other questions, I guess. All right. Real quick lesson in binary for you, Joe. Computers can only talk in zeros and ones.
Right.
You're familiar with how to count to 10, right? Yeah. When you run out of digits, you flip the next digit over to be a 1, and you restart the single digit at 0. That's a 10. It means I have a whole set of something and no remainders left.
Right.
That's what 10 represents. Well, in binary, since you can only count to 1 and 0.
1 and 0, okay, yeah.
Then the computer refers to those as bits. In memory, they are either on or off, true or false, yes or no, however you want to talk about them. A 1 represents the digit 1, and a 0 represents 0. But what do you do when you need the next digit over? Well, then you get a second digit. So it's a 1 in the second digit place, which is a 2, because we went 0, 1, 2. Flip the next one up. That's 3. This is my favorite part. It's a joke about golfers. Why do golfers always yell 4? because we go 1, 2, 3, 4. Five. Okay, we didn't just do that on video, right?
No, we didn't. Well, I see you on the camera.
Five. So it's 101.
There it is.
That's the binary high five. But we do it like this, 101. Just real fast with one finger.
Yeah.
So that's what a binary high five is. It's a nerd thing.
It's a nerd.
And thank you, Mr. Know-it-all. Yes.
We also have another feedback from... Oh, we didn't even play the feedback music. Sorry,
no.
Joe. Well, let's do that. Because we just got to sing.
We need listener Dave.
Right.
Here we go.
Letters. Some more letters.
For every Dave.
Every Dave. I don't believe that.
Mail to Dave.
Mail to Dave.
Yeah. Those letters. I love those letters.
Let's find out what you've got to say. Oh, Dave.
Boy. Yeah. Mail to Dave. So what do I get to mail to Dave then?
I don't think we get feedback every day.
Millions and millions of letters.
Millions.
Millions of them. We already played the Gary from Jacksonville one on the last show. That's been sitting around the queue for a month. We have a feedback from John Miller Jr. for the question, what space alien race would you want to be? And I think we said, and why? He says, Kryptonian. Do you really have to ask? I like that answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah. Not if you're on Krypton.
Well, no.
That kind of sucks.
It could have been cool at one time.
Well, if you were the Kryptonian that escaped.
Yeah, the one. Well, there wasn't just one.
We also have physical feedback. See, we get like real mail. We got one from Yorga.
So that implies that what we just had was not real.
Virtual.
Oh.
Email, if you were to refer. We can refer to it that way.
Electronic
it's communication
email.
From cyberspace.
Where can I learn more about this cyberspace?
That's right.
Yorga sends us a postcard from Zurich. Very lovely place. Been there once myself. And we have a very unique postcard from my daughter, Julie. It's copper.
It's copper.
It has a picture of the Quincy mine on the front. And says she went up to Eagle River with her friend Lilu and found this and thought it was neat. Thought you'd think so, too. She says, we were going to look for agates, but we didn't know what they look like.
Yeah.
It's a little tough to go agate hunting. But she did eventually see a few when we went.
Agator.
It's history time.
Sounds like something I used to call another kid when I was a kid. You agate.
Yeah. All right, I got a 19. Roll for initiative.
Uh-oh.
It's Wait. That time of show. Craig, how unprepared?
It's an eight.
Do you need dice?
Where is my dice?
Fail.
2 seconds. I'm getting it out of my bag. Hold on.
I think I got the same thing. It's a whatever it is. Looks like an eight. It could be a six or a nine or a.
Well, is it a six or is it a nine? I can't.
There should
tell.
Be a dot or a line on it.
Well, then it must be an eight.
It was within more arm's length. I got it.
I got a six.
We're gonna have to talk to Scott Tyler about this die he gave me.
Do I need to spend the pyramid or the 20? I'm sorry. Just kidding.
The pyramid. Spend the pyramid and see how far you get.
All right, I'm a roll.
I got a 16.
See if you can beat a 19 with the pyramid.
That's a 16. It's got the dot at the bottom. Oh, man. All right.
So why is it being 91?
61. Wow, that's a great one. So what did we end up with? 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll do that.
I'm 16.
Chuck, Craig, Keith, Ben.
Chuck,
okay. Let's start the music. Hey, marching band. Right on cue. On this day in history for July 6, 2016, this is the 188th, that's a fun number, day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 178 days remaining in 2016.
Wow.
It was on this date in 1189 that Richard I, a.k.a. the Lionheart, that sounds like it's out of Game of Thrones, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little.
Accedes to the English throne.
July 6, 1865, the first issue of the National Magazine is published.
The Nation Magazine.
Nation.
Oh, Nation Magazine.
Let's go back to helium.
Yeah.
Louis Pasteur successfully tests his vaccine against rabies on Joseph Meister, a boy who was bitten by a rabid dog 130 years ago today.
How fortunate that he didn't try something else on him.
Yeah. So he was bitten by a rabid dog 130 years ago today.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he just tried it out.
Just tried it out.
Amazing,
isn't it? Is he okay now?
I hope so.
I suspect he's long dead.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't care much anymore.
Well, on the same date in 1919, the British dirigible R-34 lands in New York, completing the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by an airship.
Isn't R-34 what they replaced Freon with?
I think so, yeah.
Sorry. Absolutely no relevance.
Oh, you moved that around. I can't see now.
No, it's my turn. The first Major League Baseball All-Star Game is played in Chicago's Comiskey Park. The American League defeated the National League 4-2 on this date in 1933.
Anne Frank and her family go into hiding in the secret annex above her father's office in Amsterdam, in an Amsterdam warehouse, 74 years ago today.
Who bought her the drum set? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, really. Jackie Robinson refuses to move to the back of the bus, leading to a court-martial on this date in 1944.
So court-martial implies he was in the service at the time. Yep. Interesting.
And it was 69 years ago today that the AK-47 goes into production in the Soviet Union.
I did not know that was a Soviet weapon.
Neither did I.
59 years ago today, John Lennon and Paul McCartney meet for the first time as teenagers.
How do you do? Oh, how do you do? How do you do? I'm John Lennon.
Wilton Feet 3 years before forming the Beatles.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. And the Late Late Show, the world's longest running chat show by the same broadcaster, airs on REIT 1. Is it RTE? 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 I don't know.
RTE.
Got my accent mark over there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Is that an accent mark? That was dirt on my monitor.
Hey, let's just do this. There you go.
There we go.
RTE 1 for the first time on this date in 1962.
It was 26 years ago today that Electronic Frontier founder is
whoa.
Sorry.
Thank you.
It was 26 years ago today the Electronic Frontier Foundation is founded.
Oh, dear. Okay. July 6, 2003, the 70-meter Yevpatoria planetary radar sends a METI message, Cosmic Call 2, to five stars, HIP-4872, HD-245409, 55. Cancer?
Bingo.
What the heck
bingo.
Is
I got
that?
Bingo. I got bingo.
TK421. Why
did you get your post? Yeah.
Yeah.
The oh, God. 55 Cancri, HD75732, HD10307, and 47, Ursae. What the heck? Majoris.
Ursae Majoris. That's somewhere in
HD95128. The messages will arrive to these stars in 2036, 2040, 2044, and 2049, respectively.
Mark calendars.
Hey, why aren't we always continuously sending messages?
Maybe we are. It was just on this day in 2003. Happy birthday goes on this date to Swiss anatomist and physiologist Albert von Kolliker. Born on this date in 1817.
And also born on the same date, and 1 year later, German chess player Adolf Anderson.
July 16th, 1903 is the birthday of Swedish biochemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Hugo Theorell.
If he's Theorell. Swedish, he might be Terrell.
Man,
Terrell.
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 Tyrell.
Yeah.
Terrell.
And the man who created Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, actor, singer, and producer Merv Griffin, was born today in 1925.
Did not know he was a singer.
I did.
You didn't? You didn't know that?
No. Bill Haley, yes, the one from Bill Haley and His Comets, shares the same exact birthday as Merv Griffin.
Wow. How about that?
And also, Ned Beatty, he's 79 years old.
Are we going to add his Abba, Mr. Luthor?
Yeah. Wearing an Addis Ababa this time of year.
It looks like a burnoose.
Burnoose. Oh. You got that up your snood or something?
Who's next?
And finally, guess how old Sylvester Stallone is? If you said 70.
140.
You'd be right.
And this
divided
is
by two.
Yeah, and this is also National Fried Chicken Day in the United
National
States.
National Fried Chicken Day? Well, then we should have this.
Oh,
sorry.
And finally, this is Take Your Webmaster to Lunch Day. So if you're
I thought I said Webster.
Webster?
Take your Webster to lunch.
Yes, take Webster to lunch today.
All right, we're on the final round of this song. How do you take a Webster to lunch? Your dictionary?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way it was on this day in history for July 6, 2016. We're going to march this on out of here. So yeah. Where in the multiverse have Chuck and Craig been for the last several weeks?
I've been on Earth 3 and 6.
Earth 3 Earth? And 6, yeah.
Three. Tell us about Earth 6. I'm familiar with Earth 3, but Earth 6 I don't know yet.
That was film rock.
I can't tell you.
My bucket list.
You'll know it when you get there.
Is that the one where everybody wears beards?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I came back with one. That's right.
Souvenir beard.
Souvenir beards. That's from your Farmville.
God. Where have you been, Chuck?
Are we just going to move on? Skip this bullet at him?
Please.
Yeah. Go ahead. Where have you been? Where have all y'all been?
Well, the last show we did was when you were in the studio on the 26th, correct?
Holy moly, was it that long ago?
Yeah, it was, because then we had Comic-Con after that.
You're right.
And then Craig went out of town for a couple of weeks, and then I went out of town. So Craig has been to where, like Peru? Where were you?
No. Close. It was New Mexico.
No. Oh, okay. I knew it was New Mexico. Spanish-speaking country.
Yeah, so we took our scouts.
Wait, did you say Mexico or New Mexico?
New Mexico.
Oh, you were nearby. I thought you were in a foreign country.
Upper New Mexico.
Isn't New Mexico a foreign country?
Yeah.
So we went to the Philmont Scout Ranch, and we hiked for 12 days, or, you know, about 2 weeks. So we were out. I was out without signal. Actually, I got signal twice, and it was on top of a mountain. So I was able to like send a couple of texts, and that was about it. So we had a good time. It's a long couple of weeks, but saw some really unexpected views. It was beautiful. It's fantastic.
How'd you do that 360 thing with Google Panoramic, whatever it was called?
Oh, the Photosphere. It's built into my phone. You can see it on my photo on my Facebook account if you want to see it.
That's pretty slick.
Yeah, it's almost like shooting a panoramic where it kind of guides you straight across, but the camera shows you these blue dots, and you just go hover on them for a second, and it takes the pictures as you go around, and then
stitches them together.
And it stitches them together on the phone. But what's cool and unexpected, I thought, I'm going to try posting this to Facebook, and Facebook supports Photospheres, so
that's pretty slick.
If you pull it up on your phone, at least on my Android, you can move the phone around just like you're standing there.
That's what it did on the iPhone too when we were looking at Facebook. That was pretty slick.
Pretty cool.
And I saw other people doing that with panoramics recently. So you can do that as well. And you can just move your phone and you can see the whole thing.
Yeah.
You
got back from that when?
Last weekend.
Okay. So when you got back from that, I was already gone. Donna and I went to Wisconsin for my cousin's wedding. We took a day side trip up to Michigan to see the girls. Both of them are doing very well. Lisa's in her apartment, and Julie's working on her summer PhD projects. Everybody's happy. Saw a whole bunch of cousins, aunts, and uncles, and took a lot of pictures on Saturday night. Came back Monday and got back to work. Actually, I was kind of working while I was gone. In fact, I was working so hard, we almost missed our flight on the way out on Wednesday night. Just sitting there banging away on the computer, looked up and went, oh my gosh, flight leaves in 10 minutes and we've got half of the Minneapolis airport to go. So
that's a large airport.
That's a large airport. I've had to go from one end to the other, but this was not a one end to the other. It was just down 3/4 of the C concourse. Anyway, enough of the boring travel stories. Let's get to our follow-up story. Yes. Remember we talked about the Enterprise, the what was it, 9 feet, 12 feet long, the model used in the original series
that's
was
being Smithsonian.
Refurbished. It's done. The original on-screen model for Star Trek's USS Enterprise is back in action, and much as being on display in a museum can be action for a spaceship. But after a long process of restoration, the ship has finally been made available to the public view again, just in time for the show's 50th anniversary. Thank goodness they made it in time for that.
Yeah.
Following the end of the original Star Trek, the Enterprise model has had a bit of a miserable life. The ship spent many years hung from the ceiling after being donated to the National Air and Space Museum, which heavily damaged its structure in the 90s. In the wake of Star Trek's resurgence in popularity, the museum restored, in quotes, the model, adding lights and detail that wasn't present on the original ship.
What did you do that?
How dare they? That's not canon.
Where's Larry when we need him?
No kidding. Exactly.
You know,
the George Lucas. Wait a minute.
The sleeve on the cuff is just a tenth of a centimeter too long.
It will not do.
It was eventually resigned to display in the museum gift shop in 2000 to avoid even further structural damage. Not exactly a stellar career for what has become one of the most iconic spaceships in pop culture. But in late 2014, the museum announced plans to recorrect.
Recorrect.
Is that a word?
Recorrect.
It is now.
Okay. Well, it's in the article. It must be
real. It's in Gizmodo, so we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
They recorrect the damage done to the Enterprise over the years, a restoration project to undo the former restoration, bringing the model back to its original on-screen form.
They were retconning their retcon.
I guess.
Yes.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
The Enterprise was unveiled in its new home in a climate-controlled display in the museum's Milestones exhibit on July 1st, and it looks terrific!
It looks spectacular.
Access denied.
They replaced all of the lights with LEDs because they said that some of the lights where they were at...
Getting too warm?
You could see scorch marks, they've just been running. But now they're LEDs, so it's like little to no heat, and it looks fantastic. Especially the little video at the bottom, you can see the nacelles churning away at the front of them.
It looks like it's right off of the show.
It looks great. But you know what breaks my heart?
What's that?
I've seen some people, and I'm sure Ben and Keith will get on this too. I've seen some people wanting to boycott Paramount because of the whole fan film guidelines that they've thrown out there.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And that same day that I saw people throwing out the boycott Paramount, I see a story like this where it should be celebrated, but at the same time, I'm like, man, this sucks, because they're really laying the hammer down on some fan films, and who are they playing to? This is for the fans, obviously. It's in a museum. It's, people want to see it. But at the same time, then you got Paramount hammering fan film, people.
They
that
backed
love
off
the,
of that, though.
No, they didn't.
No,
they haven't yet?
No. It got worse. You didn't hear?
Oh, no. I thought they were backing off.
Oh, heck no. No. For one thing, they never dropped the lawsuit. And then they came out with a whole series of guidelines that says if you're going to do a fan film, these are all the restrictions that you now have to abide by. And
anybody that has ever been associated with Star Trek, can never participate in a fan film.
They can be
in any way, shape, or form.
The
time restriction, I think, is the big
That's
killer.
The big 15 one. Minutes. Yeah, 15 minutes is the max.
Of on-screen time?
If
I wanted to make a film and have Robert Picardo on there.
You can't.
At all. Okay. So what's the 15 minutes for?
That's the limit that your episode can be.
Oh, I can't make a 30-minute featurette.
And you can't make two episodes.
I can't make two.
No.
No, you can't make
two. Not with the same content.
It cannot be the same content. It has to be they have to be individual stories. You can't make, here's part one, here's part two, here's part three.
But they could be separate short stories.
They could be separate short stories. That's the only way they can allow that.
And if you're going to wear uniforms and use
you
props,
have to get them
they must
from Paramount.
Be officially sanctioned props. And
you cannot make them.
Nope.
Wow, this is more draconian than Lucas.
Exactly. So like that bridge set?
Yeah.
They have to trash it. All the bridge sets that we've seen in the various Star Trek fan films, those all have to be trashed. All the props have to be thrown away. All the costumes have to be thrown away.
Well, it's not exactly like Paramount's cranking out these bridge sets.
But that's the deal now. So Paramount got very ugly about this. And this is
But what are you going to do with it?
I don't know, but this is basically their way.
It's tit for tat.
Yeah, it is. But this is their way of saying no more fan films.
Yep.
That's too bad. Yeah. That's really upsetting.
Yeah.
And there's already one fan film production company that has already said, Paramount, up yours. We're breaking every single one of your rules. We're going to do it. We're going to go about it anyway.
Ooh.
And then another one.
We got lawyers.
And another one that said, Oh, well, our story, we're just going to tweak it a little bit, and we're going to make it non-Star
Trek. I have an idea to make a parody. We should go out to, what are the rocks? Where the
Vasquez Rocks.
Vasquez Rocks. We should go out to Vasquez Rocks.
That's probably copyrighted.
Throw down a, yes, you can't film there.
Yeah, exactly. We've copyrighted those rocks.
Throw down a skeleton of a Gorn.
Yeah.
Start digging in the dirt and find, like, fan films.
That could be funny.
See? I have a lot of ideas. None of them ever work.
Yeah, but that's what's going on with Paramount right now.
Those are the kinds of ideas that I have to follow through on.
I think this whole thing is like 1 minute to
auto-destruct. Yeah, it's garbage. I love New Voyages, but also especially love Star Trek Continues.
Oh, I love Star Trek Continues.
I think that one's spot on. I think that was spot on, but either way, they both put in a lot of effort to make their show look like the original episodes, and now it's like...
Now, the word on the street is that someone had said that Vic Mignogna, who was in charge of Star Trek Continues, is in discussion with Paramount right now, but again, that's all rumor, speculation, nobody really knows anything.
For what? To try and get a leeway or something?
Well, the rumor has it is that Paramount may try to buy Star Trek Continues.
See, I'm down with that. I'm okay with that.
But then lose complete control of the product.
Yep.
Maybe a little. Well, I don't know. You could be a producer.
It's only rumor. I haven't heard anything. So I'm not going to
watch the hell out of it. Watch the hell out of it.
I'm
still watching.
I'm very, very leery about it. Of course, the one who's really cheesed off most of all is Alec Peters, but
yep. Oh well.
That's where it's at, and that's where a lot of people are going to boycott the movie and the new series.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm torn.
I'm not going to boycott. I mean, I'm not going to see them, not because I'm not boycotting. I'm not going to see them because I have no faith that they're going to put out something good.
Wow.
I have lack of faith in them.
The new TV show is going to, or the new show is going to be not going to be any good. Look at all the names behind it.
Yeah. What's your point?
I think it's got too much going for the show. I'm more hopeful for the show than I am the movie. I mean, I'm going to enjoy the movie.
I agree with that.
It's possible. But it depends on how much the executives meddle in the project.
That's the problem.
They could really screw it up. Well, they're already starting. They're already doing their part.
Yep, they are.
We're brightening Craig.
I tried. I see if I could brighten them or dim them down or if my the remote webcam, desktop. Okay. That's all right.
Long story. I had to screw in my setup, so I'll fix it next time, whatever.
Fix it in post.
You've had a...
Yeah. It's the beard. It's outshining everything.
We don't do post here.
Oh, there's no post.
There's no post.
Only we put it on WordPress. That's the only post we do.
There we go.
Post it. All right, birthday calendar. We are not going to catch up on all of June, thank goodness. But happy birthday if you had a birthday in June. Sorry we didn't get to your birthday because we weren't around. We are going to start on July 6th, which is when this show airs. Happy birthday to Peter. He's 1982 from Sweden. Trampus Whiteman, a.k.a. Dragon Helm, is born on the 8th. Also born on the 8th, Mark Lee, a.k.a. GeekDad72, stardate 35151909.
That translates to July 8th. Right?
I was trying to make that out to be a real date, but I don't think he was born in 1935, and there is no 15th month. So we'll just let that one go. Also on the 8th is Alan Ralph, a.k.a. Mon Templar. Jack and Tiffany's wedding is this Saturday.
Yeah, we will be there.
I threw that one in. It's not really on the calendar, but hey, what the heck?
Hey, why not?
I wish them all the best.
Kevin Devon is born on 7/10, not 7/11, which would have been hysterical. But Kevin Devon used to have the In the Trenches podcast, one of the first ones I ever listened to.
It would have been funny if he was on the 11, Kevin Devon 11.
You can just see the dad. Keep him in there one more day. It's going to be funny.
Pinch it. Pinch it. Hold it.
Pinch it.
Squeeze those cheeks.
Okay, move along.
Redneck Tech, a.k.a. Stephen Trow, is on the 11th. Two birthdays on the 12th. Shadowbird 712 of Shadowbird Studios You can find him at shadowbirdsrandomcrap.blogspot.com. Sorry for the cheap plug, y'all.
Jeremy Kyle.
The last post he had was March 14th.
Jeremy Kyle. You looked at his posts?
I'm just there's a link.
You looked at his post.
March 14th, 2012. He needs to get on that.
He needs to get on that. Come on, Jeremy. And Francois Ponneville, my AKA Bookaroo. He was born in the year 11110110001. How's that, Crazy Joe?
That's a Canadian date.
We taught him to count up to five and just broke Crazy Joe.
I tell you, those Canadians really have some wacky years.
The loony, the toony, and the binary calendar. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, go over to truckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to give you a shout out for your birthday at the appropriate time of year, assuming we're having a show that week.
Yeah.
But for now, we got to play the birthday song.
Hold your breath.
No. I wanted this one. This sounds like a really bad merry-go-round.
A bit eight merry-go-round.
Like in, Soviet era Russia. Weird. Theme park.
Boom, ba, ba, boom, ba, ba, boom. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories, some Media Corner stuff, and many, many other things that might tickle your funny bone. At least we're going to try. Hang on. We'll be right back. Did you ever wonder why the early space shuttles had a white external fuel tank, and then the later ones did not?
I have no idea. Seriously. Not a clue.
Mm-hmm. Because once they filled that tank, they didn't want rays and things interfering. That's the technical term.
What?
Rays and things.
Rays and things.
Wow!
Thank you, Professor Mossy.
Them raisin
like raisin
things.
Bread, raisin muffins,
raisin things. Wow.
For his raisin things, it's grapes and things.
Wait. Californium raisins.
Hey! Californium raisin things.
Get through the grapevine.
We've broken the show again.
Story's over now. Move on.
Hello, America. This is Marlene Forte. I play Celia Flores on Fear the Walking Dead, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Stay tuned. You might even get some pozole.
That was a fun interview, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to our interview with Marlene Forte. When she did that audio clip for it, gave me goosebumps. If you haven't seen the show, you got to watch the show. And then you hear her do that. She says, you might even get some pozole. Like, oh my God, that's like Jeffrey Dahmer offering you something, a snack. Really? Or no, what did I say? It was,
I'm trying to remember what you
Jim Jones. I said it's like Jim Jones offering you Kool-Aid.
Offering you Kool-Aid. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's... It was like,
I think that was my words. You can borrow them.
She said, I could open up a store. great idea. Did you add this story later, the Hacks and Strange story? You did.
What the heck is that?
I missed it when I was going through the store.
Oh, no, it was there earlier.
It's the laser bazooka. It's a 200-watt laser bazooka. Who wants to read the story? Flip for it. Anybody?
I will.
YouTuber and insane laser tech electrician Styropyro has outdone himself once again. While his previous experiments have led to a home-built lightsaber and a dangerous laser shotgun, this time has more than added 5 times the power to create a massive.
Did you write this?
If it's going to be 200 watt, it's more than.
It's like turn it up to 11.
200, exactly. 200 watt laser bazooka. For reference, a standard laser pointer is 0.005 watts.
Oh my gosh.
While a laboratory laser is 0.5 watts.
Which is 100 times more than the standard laser pointer.
Yep. meaning it can still damage your eyes even if you're only staring at the spot on the light of the light on the wall.
Wow.
The laser bazooka, meanwhile, is 400 times more powerful than the most dangerous lab laser. The total power consumption is nearly a kilowatt. Wow. Styropyro says, or roughly the same as a microwave oven. Appropriately enough, the device was built from scrap metal and the blue laser diodes ripped out of some broken DLP projectors. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I wonder how many he stole there. The lasers from projector are run through an optical component called a knife edger, which combines them into the retina-searing beam that can toast a piece of 2x4 in seconds.
Nice.
In fact, the resulting beam is so powerful, our home-brewed mad scientist also had rigged up a special welding helmet just to operate it. In other words, don't try this at home, kids.
I don't think whoever wrote this intended it to be read out loud.
I don't think they did.
We're gonna have to reach out to them and say, you know, we're using this as a source.
Yeah.
Hey, the video was quite impressive because he burned through the little panel that you can take off like a Dell computer.
Mm-hmm.
He burned through that. He burned through cardboard, of course. He popped some balloons, and he was searing wood. I'm like, you know, I just think if this was out in the battlefield, all you could do is shine it across there and kill whoever's eyes are out there, you know?
Holy moly macanoli.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's smart, but it's funny how he described it, and he got progressively bigger and bigger and goes, okay, let's have some fun.
And they wonder where Starkiller Base came from.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's got to charge this thing by sucking up a star.
First, we turn on the hyper vacuum.
Yeah, that requires that.
Normally, we give a shout out to the chat room at this point in the show, but
Is anybody chatting out there?
I don't know. But we do this show live every week if you want to chat amongst yourselves. Is anybody? No, done another browser up. Okay, nobody's looking right now. Craig, you try looking.
I'm not looking.
We do the show live every Sunday night. Well, Sunday nights were around 9:30 Eastern time. You can watch for the announcements on Facebook and or Twitter.
There's one watching.
There's one watching? Hi.
Who watches the watchers?
Christina C. She got shafted. What?
Well, hi, Christina. Nice to have you aboard. You can join us bit.ly/Technorama Live on Sunday night. We'd love to see you. Or you can go to YouTube and catch the previous shows.
Hey, by the way, she says, it's just me talking to myself.
Well, I talk to myself all the time, so don't feel bad. It's okay to...
And I talk to myself.
It's okay to talk to yourself, and it's okay to even answer your own questions. You're in trouble when you start saying, huh? What?
What?
That didn't make any sense.
Which, I remember what Infocom used to say about that.
You
talking
mean
to
like
yourself
the
is a sign of impending mental collapse.
Oh, that was inside of intelligence. We also want to thank our patrons. We have several of them. We're back up to 9. We lost Chad D, but we got Chris MC. So thank you to our patrons who helped make this show and other specials possible, as well as reaching out to others to introduce them to the show. Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills. You know, we had some super music for you. There you go. Kyle Nishioka. Mike Wills, Steve Darien. Saturday morning media. Chris MC, MC Chris.
Yo, what's up?
Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, and Nick St. Gabriel. Thank you to all of you. If you want to go over and be a patron, go to patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. We've got various levels of donation, and they get special content. Yes?
I was going to say there's 3 empty cells in this table we need to fill up.
In this prison?
Yeah.
this prison we call Technorama.
This prison we call Technorama.
We have content specially for our patrons. Nobody else in the world hears it, unless, of course, they're distributing it on illegal means, but that's all right. And if you think it's great enough to do that, we're honored. But we discourage against it just for legal reasons. Okay, let's kill the music.
Legal reasons?
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. Media Corner?
No. Okay. Welcome to Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And raising things.
Raising things.
Media Corner.
That was mainly in the right ear.
That was, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Do it again.
I hear it in both.
I hear it in both, but it's... Oh, anyway. It's in both, but it's probably 70 or 80% in the right. Unless I've got it tilted, but I don't think I have.
Straighten your head up.
Tilted. Okay.
There you go.
I don't have it panned one way or the other. Hey, where were we going? Oh, yes. In the summer of 1952, 60-year-old J.R.R. Tolkien encountered a tape recorder for the first time. Which
what is
resulted-
this sorcery?
Yeah.
What's this magic?
I could write a book about this magic. It resulted in some wonderful archival audio of the beloved author reading from The Hobbit. So enchanted was Tolkien for this novel technology. Get it? Novel technology.
I don't get it.
Proceeded to record himself reading much of his work over the years to come.
He was an early podcaster.
Yeah.
Probably more like audible.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early audible.com.
You want to listen to some of this? It's actually pretty good, pretty interesting.
The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road had gone, and I must follow it, if I can. Pursuing it with eager feet until it joins some larger way, where many paths and errands meet. And whither then, I cannot say.
See, it is a poem.
It is.
Yeah. That was in meter.
I cannot
read. Actually, the road goes on and on. It's a
quavering voice. No, said Gandalf, but I can. The letters are Elvish, an ancient mode, the language that of Morgoth, which I will not utter here. This in the common tongue is what is said. Close enough.
You say listen up?
What's that?
Like you said, listen up.
There's also... He sings
Rhyme of the Troll.
He sings. Let's hear him sing.
Standing up with his hands behind his back as if he was at school, he began to sing to an old tune. A troll sat alone on his seat of stone and munched and mumbled a bare old bone. For many a year he'd gnawed it near, for meat was hard to come by, some by, come by. In a cave in the hills he dwelt alone, and meat was hard to come by. Up came John with his big boots on, says he to troll, pray what is yon? For it looks like the shin of an Uncle Jim, there should be a loin in graveyard, caveyard, paveyard. This many a year has Jim
now,
been gone.
When you read the book, you've got the lyrics, but you don't have the tune.
No.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
What?
I have heard this before. You know where I've heard it before?
Where have you heard
where
this
have
before?
Where have you heard it before?
I actually bought the, I forget what version, what they actually called it. It was on Google Playbooks, and it was like an enhanced version, and you could zoom in on all the maps and stuff that he hand-drew.
Yeah.
And on one page, I flipped, and it said there was a little play button, and I could play, and you could listen to the audio, and this is what it played.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Cool. So I was like freaking out. I was like, wow, I'm in the middle of the book. There's the lyrics. He's talking about them singing, and then all of a sudden there's a play, an extra link, and you could click on it and listen to him play. It was kind of neat.
I wonder why he never published the music, the lyrics, because if you're reading the book, the only person who knows the tune is him.
Yeah, he's the only one.
So that's what I thought was fascinating. It's like you can finally tell what the song is.
Yeah,
yeah. And when I was reading it, I remember kind of making it up in my head. But
I think we all did.
Then I went, oh wait, right. I can listen to it. Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Yeah, it became.
And mine sounded like this.
Oh God.
Mine sounded more like Dr. Seuss.
R2 showed up and talked to Gandalf, and him and Samwise went off.
Wow.
R2 had the ring, and Samwise had to take him to Mordor.
Sounds like something we see at Dragon Con.
Yeah. Right.
R2-D2 with a ring of power.
The Enterprise in astonishing detail.
Mind-blowing detail.
Did I grab this icon? The new USS Enterprise in mind-blowing detail. This is the one from the Abrams universe, right?
Yes.
Abramsverse. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Although it's no longer called Abramsverse or JJverse.
No. What is it? Disneyverse?
Alternateverse, no. I think, is what they're calling it.
Oh, yes. It's the alternate universe.
Ultraverse.
No. It's the Kelvin. It's the Kelvin.
Kelvin. That's it. Kelvinverse.
What?
Yes.
Kelvin. Because it was at the time of the USS Kelvin that the timeline split.
Oh.
It's like regular Celsius, only 273 degrees less.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. That's what they were thinking.
273 degrees.
Hey, I posted this in here, and I know, you know, we've seen cross sections of the Enterprise all the time, but this one reminded me of the first time I saw like the original Enterprise. It was a cutaway drawing like this.
Yep.
And I was fascinated to actually see where things fit and where, you know, you like, here's the bridge, here's this, here's that, you know, just going from the original series to seeing that cutaway just blew me away when, of course, when I was a kid. Anyway, seeing this is kind of neat. I always like these kind of cutaways.
It is real.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
I knew it was. I knew it. I knew it was real. I just knew it.
No, it's not. You can see where they stuffed the little monkey to make it go.
Dang it.
All right. We have that in the media corner. If you want to see that, great pictures. Go through the show notes. Apparently,
there was something in here.
Something went across.
Iridium 49 flare in 5 minutes.
Oh. And by the way, it shows the Enterprise. It shows the crawl ship, which is new, which I don't think we've seen before, and the USS Franklin, another
the
older
crawl ship. What?
Starship, Starfleet ship. You
which
know,
looks a lot like the NX-01.
It does, yes.
Speaking of space objects?
Space objects that really do exist. We have Yes,
hey,
what?
Take issue with what you just said.
What?
They're really doing in real life, not in Craig's made-up fantasy universe that exists only in movies and comic books.
Yeah, and ignore those Star Trek posters all over your wall.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I know where reality ends.
Yeah, but you just got an alert on your watch of a Space 40.
He says wearing a Trekkie Dad shirt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Five amazing facts.
Five amazing facts about NASA's mission to Jupiter. This is the Juno mission. After 5 years and 445 million miles, NASA's Juno mission arrives in orbit around Jupiter on Monday.
Hey.
Set your
Monday
watch.
The Monday after you're hearing this or
The Monday after recording, as in a few
Monday
hours.
Oh, Monday after you're recording.
Right.
So
by the time you hear it, it would have arrived and you missed your bus.
Yeah.
It's to begin an unprecedented scientific study of the behemoth planet that shaped our solar system.
I thought that was behemoth.
Every time I see the word behemoth, I think of that bicycle at the Computer History Museum. That was a sight.
The behemoth. The three-wheeled thing, whatever
it was.
It was
two wheels.
Oh, was it two wheels?
It was
right.
Two wheels. It just had like a whole bunch of camping gear on it.
With a flat tire.
Go back and watch our video. It's great. In addition to doing some amazing science, Juno itself is an amazing machine. Built to fly risky maneuvers in an unimaginably hostile environment. Here are five things you should know about the most ambitious space exploration mission ever built. By the way, before we get into this, I am working on getting an interview with somebody from the Juno mission. So I want to talk
about
this will be fun if we can get this pulled off. Thank you to our patrons for helping make that happen. Plug. We're not going to go through all five of these. They get a little long in the tooth, and we are running a little long in the show. So this spaceship is about to break a speed record. Over the past few weeks, Jupiter's gravity has been reeling Juno in, accelerating the spacecraft to breakneck speeds. By the time it arrives, Juno will be one of the fastest human-made objects in history, moving approximately 260,000 kilometers per hour. Now, you want to put that in perspective. Light moves at 300,000 kilometers per second.
Second, yes.
So it's a 3,600th the speed of light.
That's pretty fast.
That's pretty dang fast.
Or $165,000
miles. Huh? What?
Got tongue-tied there. 165,000 miles per hour.
For a second, I thought $165,000 per hour.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Oh, my gosh, he pulled a Craig.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you know?
How much does this cost?
Just kind of derail here.
Oh, dear.
We noticed on the way back that key dollar sign ha is not key dollar sign ha anymore. It's Keisha.
What?
Yeah. Her name is really Keisha.
Kesha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She used to be on key dollar sign, huh?
Yeah.
I never heard her said that way.
That was from...
It was from...
What was that TV show?
That TV series with all the kids singing music.
Oh.
Glee.
Glee.
Okay.
And the principal called her key dollar sign, ha.
Is that a Keisha?
Anyway,
there's your derailed story for the week.
I thought it was chocolate yogurt with eyes. I watched Deadpool again this week. It's funnier the second time, I swear.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that.
The ship is also, or the spacecraft is also a nuclear fallout shelter.
Wow.
Yeah. We're going to leave that one for the reader to read.
Cool.
It's got an astronomically bad reception. What? That seems terrible for a spacecraft.
Frustrated when your phone has
crappy reception.
Crappy reception. Only the other word for that.
Can you hear me now?
NASA can put your problems in perspective. When Juno phones home to tell us that its orbital insertion maneuver went off smoothly, the signal it sends to Earth will be roughly a billion times weaker than what you'd receive in a typical cell phone call. Okay, that makes sense because it's going so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can accept that.
And it doesn't have, you know, the same output anyway. Yeah, that okay. I mean, even Voyager only had what, like a 1-watt transmitter? It had two transmitters, but the strong one died.
V-ger. Right.
Well, it got repaired.
Not V-ger.
Oh.
V-ger. I knew where he was going with that. It got better.
It got better. It got better. I'm going to do a dance.
It's getting scary when I can start heading off Keith's little mind traps.
Dang it. He's learning and you're learning. What am I going to do now? I have to find another show.
Try harder. Sorry, that was a bad Rafiki. Yeah. It runs on renewables. Juno is the furthest solar-powered mission ever conceived.
Wow.
Built to run on the sun in an environment 25 times dimmer than Earth. Even with the state-of-the-art solar technology and energy-efficient electronics, the spacecraft needs to catch a lot of sunlight.
Yeah.
Spanning 20 meters, wow, aka 66 feet, its three solar arrays contain approximately 18,000 solar cells in all. Wow.
Solar arrays and things?
Jupiter, yeah, solar arrays
and
things.
How many are up on your roof?
26.
So put that in perspective.
I'm making kilowatt hours though, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures from Jupiter so far?
Like not the latest ones. No.
The Northern Lights. Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Hey, I just saw that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just saw that earlier today.
Hey, I dropped a link in the show notes right below this article.
Here, the creepy sounds detected by NASA's Jupiter probe.
Yes. If you go there, you can listen to what they recorded, and you can see right when it hits the magnetosphere, and it goes, it's like, you know, it changes.
It's the stuff of nightmares.
Well, not quite that bad.
Turn it up.
But
it's in a vacuum. There's nothing to hear.
Oh, dang it.
Then why I am playing it. What's going on?
Hasn't hit the magnetosphere
yet.
Anyway, not playing through my browser player thing.
Anyway, it's kind of neat to hear. I would say go look, check it out.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Okay, we're going to round this out. Our question of the week this week is, what is a little known factoid that you think only you or very few others know about? Computers, media, anything.
Wow.
I got a couple.
Well, I got to think about it.
I unleash them.
I got to think about
every chance I get.
Gotta think
media?
About that one.
What was the opera that was playing on my birthday? My date of birth, which was a Saturday.
You at mean the like Metropolitan in your home? Opera. Oh, at the Met. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, when
La Traviata.
No.
Darn.
Le Nozze di Figaro.
Man of La Mancha.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd I know that?
No. Marriage of Figaro.
Who knows?
That was my next guess.
I just happened to hear that the other day, a couple of years ago. And I was driving out to L.A. and they said, on January 23rd, 1960, Marriage of Figaro. What?
Well, so, there you go.
That was pretty cool.
Neat.
That's why I'm fond of it.
All right, listener, we want to know, what little factoid are you going to share with us that you or maybe a few others, not that golfing joke about why do they count to four. That one's already been done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch the video if you really want to see the full implication of what that was.
Oops.
Call us on the listener line with your answer, 707-530-CHAT, 707-530-2428, or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can also put a thing on our Facebook. We know you know where you can find all of that. We are around. We want to hear from you. Thank you, Ben and Keith.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Tell them where they can find you and your show.
TGGeeks.com. That's where you can find the TG Geeks webcast.
You guys are like outpacing us for the month of June. You had like five shows in one weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's called Comic-Con.
And we're going to do one interview tomorrow and two next Saturday. So we got lots of stuff.
Craig, I think we're going to have to do some gorilla interviews at Dragon Con.
There you go.
See? Yeah, just pin somebody against the wall and start asking questions.
We're going to find every gorilla we can find and interview them.
There you go.
Gorilla interviews. I'm sure there's a couple around here.
I didn't see that one coming.
So funny, I forgot to laugh.
We should get in the gorilla suit and interview people.
There you go.
Give them the binary high five and let's get out of here.
Okay. 101.